from the PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined by a veritable gaggle of Gagliardis. Janine Gagliardi and Bill Gagliardi.
Right.
Good evening.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. You have us up late.
I'm so sorry. Bill, how was your fucking COVID-19 experience going?
Well, I know this is an audio podcast, but I do have my Corona haircut. I've had 2 Corona tests, both negative. So,
brag.
It's a weird flex, but, you know. 2-time negative tester, Bill Gagliardi.
Oh, my God.
I'm putting that on my resume.
Yes. But you're essential, so you needed to take them. It wasn't just you felt like it. You're not just out there stealing tests, are you?
A little from column A, a little from column B. You know?
What are you drinking today, sir?
Oh, this is Kirkland Signature Sparkling Water. It's their knockoff of LaCroix, so this is hint of lemon. It's just sparkling water, and somebody's whispering the flavor in my ear.
But a patina of lemon. A notion of lemon in a child's dream.
That's the best description I've ever heard of LaCroix. It's like LaCroix is drinking plain seltzer and someone's yelling the name of the flavor in the other room.
I swear, if I was just drinking water and she was zesting a lemon 2 rooms away,
that
would be more of a flavor.
Like in the next house over.
Well, you know, I prefer that to these flavored seltzers that are basically just soda that is clear. Mm. You see these people who are like, oh, I'm just being so healthy today, and they're basically drinking grape soda. Like, look, it's clear. I can see through it.
So is Pepsi Clear, and yeah, we all know how that happened.
You know my eyes lit up when you said clear soda. I was like, go on.
Your love of soda is well documented.
Phew, it's amazing I have all my original teeth.
Do you really?
I do, believe it or not. And no cavities.
We're more like Bragliardi today.
Oh, come on. Bill and Janine, this is your idea. Bill, I think it's your idea this episode, was it?
Yeah, there were a couple of mini ideas. And, you know, I am a gamer. So this was a pretty layup of an idea for us to have a nice conversation about.
So we're going to talk about movie adaptations of video games.
It's a very dangerous territory.
Often what people say is that none of them are good.
Yeah.
Well, what say you, Gagliardis?
Well, when I was talking to you about doing this episode, I was like, I don't really think we can do like good versus bad because
No. They're
overwhelmingly bad, I would say.
Yeah.
But, like, when they work or when they don't work, or, like, what about them works? And then maybe why they don't work.
I think, before we get into specifics of examples, I think why they don't work is because what makes a compelling game is not what makes a compelling film. The media are too disparate. To take a video game and make that into a film, it almost is like a step backwards, and I'm not insulting film, but what a film does is very different from what a video game does. So it's almost a fool's errand. That said, what do you think is the best video game movie?
Well, okay, I'm going to say, and this is not, I guess, strictly a video game movie in the sense that it's like adapted, but I think the best movie about video games is Wreck-It Ralph.
Disagree. Bill?
That's it.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes, like Webster's Dictionary defines, Angry Birds 2 as the highest rated.
Wow.
Now, you want to talk about walking out of a movie? I remember last episode you talked about walking out of a movie. I usually get very excited for video game adaptations, knowing that they're all going to be pretty awful. But however, yeah. I do get excited for, like, what's going to be their take on it? Because, like you said, with the medium, it is way too different of a medium for it to tell the story. Watching Angry Birds 1, 7 minutes, and the movie was off. So I didn't even give Angry Birds 2 the chance. Best video game movie, though? I mean, just quick answer before we get into anything. I'm going to say Silent Hill, because
wow.
A lot of people saw that movie and didn't even know that it was a game. And it's like, oh, okay, this is a fairly decent horror movie. Nothing great, but, you know. But anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit.
I might be with you on that. I really like that movie. It's not perfect. But in fact, originally, it was a better movie originally. Because originally, it had an entirely female cast. Mm. And it all took place within Silent Hill. But then the studio was like, you need some men in this movie. So they made them reshoot a bunch of stuff outside of Silent Hill with male characters that doesn't fit at all. If you could cut that out, you'd have a much better film. Silent Hill is a good movie because it at least gets the tone right. Mm. That creepy feeling of like, this is an abandoned nowhere kind of place.
Mm-hmm. And it hits every single mark that the game hits. Like it's got the sirens, it's got the nurses, it's got Pyramid Head. And right. It's not like it's forced in there. It's right. Just like it all comes organically where you see like, oh, we have to make reference to this in this video game. We have to make reference to that. That's right. Why it was smart with the Resident Evils, even though I'm not a fan of the movie franchise, to just make a completely different story. And that's why they were so successful and had 7 movies. I'm not saying they were good, but they were successful.
7 of them.
I watched like about a half hour of the first one. And I was so disappointed because it's nothing like the game. It's kind of like a Matrix-y. There was a time where every movie was trying to be the Matrix. So it's sort of Matrix-y and action-y and not really horror or gothic in any way. And I was so disappointed because I loved 1, 2, and 3. I loved the original 3. And this is going way back, but the original script for Resident Evil was written by George Romero, the director of Night of the Living Dead. And then they threw his script out. And what we ended up with was, I don't know, it lasted for 6 more movies.
I mean, I don't know to what degree the rest of the movies follow the games. I have seen the second one, and that one, it seemed like, as much as the first one wasn't like the games, the second one was trying to be like the games. And so you had like 1-to-1, you had the monsters that were in the games. Like you have the Nemesis monster, you have the character of Jill Valentine. She's wearing the exact outfit she's wearing in the games.
Okay.
But then they have the Alice character that they carried over, the Mila Jovovich character. Because she's not in the games at all, they had to like figure out what to do with her. Is she supposed to be Claire?
No, she's her own character.
She's her own thing.
Because Claire is in the franchise.
Mm. Oh, okay.
She's Trinity from The Matrix.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I remember that movie Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
Whoa.
That one was really well reviewed. And I never played any of Final Fantasies, but I remember watching it being like, oh, you know, I'll give it a shot. And it seemed like it was okay. Like, I liked it without really knowing what the hell it was about.
I've never seen it, but from what I understand, it's not based on any of the games.
Mm.
But all of the games have different stories. Mm, the whole okay. Final Fantasy series, I think, is held together with just a sort of basic idea.
Okay. We just saw Sonic. I think that really worked.
I also enjoyed Sonic.
I really liked it a lot. I think it knew exactly the kind of movie it was. I think it knew the story it was trying to tell. I thought it was genuinely funny.
I think Jim Carrey was great in it.
So good. So good.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Sonic. Let's look at the two huge juggernauts of early 90s gaming. You have Sonic, where they just took the premise of, here's this person. It's pretty much a fish out of water, not in their original world.
Yeah.
And really, what's the premise of the game? Get from point A to point B. And they took it, didn't relate it to anything that happened in the actual video game, and it worked.
Mm. Yeah.
But you go back 25 years ago, and you see what they did with the Mario Brothers, which could be a whole episode in itself.
Yeah.
And they took liberties with that, and peppered in a couple of different things.
Having watched that thing you sent me about the Mario Brothers movie, and seeing how they just kept, like, gilding the lily and trying to like make it way more complicated than it needed to be. I think that's why Sonic worked as well as it did, because it was the simplest of storylines.
Right.
It was like, I have to get my rings back. I dropped them in another state. We got to go there and get it. And in the meantime, Robotnik's coming after us.
Right.
And that was it. That was really it.
The Super Mario Brothers movie from the 90s is in no way a faithful or even good adaptation of those games. That said, I fucking love that movie so much. And I think if it weren't for the connection to Mario, if it were just a movie that existed on its own, it would be a cult classic because it's so fucking weird. It's the whole production design is like, it's bananas. It's bananas. I love it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like what we were talking about just before about the strength of Silent Hill and like that, yeah. the production design and like the art direction of that film so beautifully mirrors and elevates what's happening in the game. And then Mario comes, like, it just does something completely different. It does not like ape the aesthetic of the game in any way. They get the designer from Blade Runner to do it.
Right.
Like, it starts off like a simple storyline, like the Sonic thing where it's like, Bowser took the princess, we gotta go get the princess. And it's almost like a Wizard of Oz type story. And then that just goes right out the damn window.
Well, they eventually, I mean, people come on and off, and they eventually hire that husband and wife director team that is just fucking insane. And they had their own crazy ideas. You know, it's really emblematic of the time, though, because nobody thought video games, movies, it seemed like a joke. I think they wanted to take the popular title, Super Mario, and some of the iconography, and be like, all right, this is it. I don't think they wanted it to be faithful in any way.
Well, it's really telling that the director, the Rocky Morton, the husband, was like, this is going to be our Batman, because that really informs where they were trying to take it. Because you take this like campy Adam West series and then you turn it into like the Tim Burton like gothic extravaganza that is the first Batman movie. Okay, we're going to do that with Mario.
Yeah.
but you look at the set pieces, it looks very close to Mars in Total Recall.
Yeah.
So it's like, so if you look at it as like a Paul Verhoeven Mario Brothers, and it's like, what? No, that's
I mean, I'd love to see Paul Verhoeven's Mario Brothers.
But like, you kind of see that in this, like, it's like a Verhoeven or like Cronenberg Mario.
I agree.
Which should never be, but I'll watch it.
You're right. It is a curio. It is a bizarre little movie. But you know, if I could step outside of movies for just a minute, the Mario cartoons that ran in the 90s were, I think, good adaptations.
Oh, yeah.
No, there was, I think, two in America, one based on Mario 3 and one based on Mario World.
Yes.
And those were pretty good. You know, they found a way to take the world of Mario and the characters and, like, make little stories out of it.
Well, there was also that show Captain N Game Master where they peppered in some Mario shorts. I think that's where the Mario 3 came in. But, like, that was a pretty creative thing where they put, like, the Castlevania world, the Mega Man world, Kid Icarus, like, and they made some I mean, I just remember it for the pretty colors, but...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
William, you're a fan of Zelda.
Yes, I am. I was actually playing it while you guys were recording the last week's episode.
There has never been a Zelda film.
Oh, no, there has not. And I think the reason why is because of Super Mario Brothers.
But you think in the time between Super Mario Brothers and now, it would have happened?
Well, there's been things said of Netflix was interested in it and making it a series, like a family-friendly Game of Thrones style. There has
Game
been...
Game of Thrones is very family-friendly. Those family members were very friendly.
With each other.
Yeah.
Yes, very close.
A lot of families in Game of Thrones. There was this one show on the WB called Legend of the Seeker that took a lot from Zelda.
Wait, that comedy show?
No. Was it a comedy?
Oh.
I watched one episode. Okay. It was terrible. But 2 years ago, somebody made a trailer. It was like a Studio Ghibli Miyazaki version of the Ocarina of Time. And I feel like if you're going to make an adaptation, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it.
You would go with that game as the basis?
Yeah. There was one fan-made movie that had a limited release called The Hero of Time, and it was terrible. It was absolutely awful. You can find it on YouTube, and no good.
We suggest you don't find it on YouTube. Yeah.
There was an animated series in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I had the DVDs.
Which I didn't really watch.
No, but it's the reason why Link doesn't talk.
Oh.
He was like, excuse me, princess. He was like a cocky jerk.
Yeah, that's his like catchphrase, which they just stole from Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of these things, and like you said before, just moving away from film, I think a lot of these things are better served if they're adapted as series.
Why do you say that?
I think because especially with the Zelda games, a lot of them are so long that if you want to do the game justice, which you don't necessarily have to do because, again, you know, the story isn't always super strong. But if you want to really do it, you can do it that way, or potentially with Zelda in particular, because it's the hero of time and it's this like reincarnated Link every game. I mean, you could potentially like adapt a game for each season. You know, and keep telling Link's story in that way. I feel about Zelda the way I think people felt about Lord of the Rings, that it's like, it's sort of like an impossible text to adapt, but I think it really just takes the right person, somebody who's like really has a very clear vision of what they want to do with this, you know, to bring it to screens. I mean, that brings me to the Netflix series Castlevania.
Yes.
I think it's excellent. I think it's very, very well done. And I never even played the games. I'm just interested in it as a show. Like, Bill got me into it because he loves the Castlevania games.
And what's funny about the Castlevania games is that it was originally an adaptation of the Hollywood movies, because you had Frankenstein's monster in it, you had a mummy in it, and it looked very much like the Bela Lugosi Dracula as the main villain. So it was derivative off of that. So it had a very cinematic premise. So you could have just made a Monster Squad type of movie and called it Castlevania.
Right.
But they took one of the more fleshed out stories in which was Castlevania 3, and already have made 3 seasons just based off of one game.
Right.
And the writing is great.
Yes, and the anime style too, I think, really works for it.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen the first season. I'm behind on it. But I agree with you. I played the original games. I was never good at them, but they were also notoriously hard. Also blown away by how good it was.
It's weird. A lot of these movies, especially like the early 90s movies, which I feel like is like the heyday of video game movies, even though they adapt a ton of video games now, or like in recent years, that just seems to me like when video games are super like new and popular, so they were just trying to adapt as many as possible.
Right.
So many of the writers never played the games ever.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, and then came into it, played like 20 minutes of the game, and were like, okay, I'm going to write the movie. And you're like, I don't know about that.
Well, going back to the 90s, we have to talk about the Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter movies.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mortal Kombat. I mean, what can you say about Mortal Kombat that hasn't already been said?
The soundtrack is probably the most influential thing that came from it.
Absolutely it is. Although I'm quite partial to Christopher Lambert's performance as Raiden.
Yes.
And all of his extremely awkward pauses in that movie.
Yeah. But that's a whitewashing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is right. I mean, I'm not surprised, but
And they tried to fix that with Annihilation, but they cast James Raymond. So,
Oops.
But uh-oh. Annihilation, when we were doing research for this episode, you would see such a polar opposite with Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation, where number one best movie adaptation was Mortal Kombat, and then its sequel was all the way at the bottom of the list.
Wow.
Holy shit. CGI that just does not stand the test of time. Terrible, terrible costume design.
Right.
Just really shoehorning in as many people as possible into the movie. That's the thing. It's like, especially with fighting games, having that many characters, you don't have to follow all those characters in the movie. Like Street Fighter. Street Fighter had everybody in it. Like even Akuma, who's a secret character, just one person sitting to Guile's left. He just calls him Akuma. He's like, okay, see you later, Akuma. And like,
looks
at the camera.
Wild fun fact about the Street Fighter movie. Street Fighter, the game, is based on Bloodsport.
Right.
And Bloodsport stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then Jean-Claude Van Damme goes on to star as Guile in the Street Fighter movie.
And then they make an arcade game based on the movie. So it's a Street Fighter, the movie, the game, based off of a game that's based off of Bloodsport.
Is Christopher Nolan involved?
My nose is bleeding. Well, you know, Mortal Kombat, I remember as a kid when it came out, the buzz around it was, oh shit, you can make a good video game movie. Look, they did it. This, and for a while, that was like the one. That was the one they held up. And now I suppose it would be Resident Evil.
I guess. I mean,
in terms of success.
Yeah, profitability for sure. Like, you can make a franchise out of this. But going back to Street Fighter, I mean, we would be remiss if we talked about video game movies and we didn't talk about the greatest performance in all of video game movie history.
Raul Julia?
Raul Julia as M. Bison. He elevates the film. He is the Frank Langella Skeletor of that movie.
Wow.
He really brings the gravitas to that performance. He is like he's in a league of his own.
And he's having fun too.
Yeah.
I believe it was his last film performance.
There was one before, but we always say that it's the movie that killed Raul Julia. But he has this wonderful line in it that I used the day that our son was born. And she got really mad at me in the delivery room.
I was like, never quote Street Fighter to me again when we're having a baby.
He talks to Chun-Li because Chun-Li is out for revenge for destroying her village. And he's like, the day that Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. And to me, it was just Tuesday. So, you know, when the nurses were too busy to satisfy our needs while delivering the baby, we were like, oh, yeah, it's the most important day of our life. But to them, it's just Wednesday. She caught on real quick. Never quote Street Fighter.
Just a tip to all you dads out there, potential dads. Don't quote Street Fighter to your wife when she's giving birth to your son.
There's a sequel to that, or there's like a spinoff, right? The Legend of Chun-Li?
Yeah, it's Kristen Kruick? Kruick? What's her name?
I have no idea. I've not seen it.
No, and Neil McDonough plays M. Bison.
There's also a sequel to Silent Hill.
Mm. Yeah, nobody saw that.
Nobody saw that as well.
Nah.
You don't do sequels, unless if you're Resident Evil, apparently.
Oh, we saw Detective Pikachu recently, too.
I enjoyed that.
I think it's kind of flimsy as a movie, but I really, really enjoyed the world building.
I love any performance by Bill Nighy. Because he's like...
He's a great Mewtwo.
Yes.
But I love that the original Pokemon movie, like the animated movie, which I guess is just like a bunch of episodes from the series, but it had a theatrical release. That movie didn't have a theatrical release. Like Mewtwo is the big bad in it. And so they go very classic in Detective Pikachu in the sense that like the main character's Pokemon is Pikachu, the villain is Mewtwo. Then it turns out it's not really Mewtwo as the villain, which is nice. They give him a little justice. I always felt bad for Mewtwo.
But they wanted it to be the beginning of a cinematic universe. Right. And I don't understand why they chose Detective Pikachu rather than Ash's story.
Right.
It seems weird. It's a weird choice.
Why not do a trainer? Like, he wanted to be a trainer, and then he wasn't. They also seem to forget his age at times. Like, the main guy? Yeah.
He's like between 12 and 27.
Yeah, he's like, I work for an insurance company. And then at the end of the movie, Ryan Reynolds has to buy his train ticket for him and tells him, Grandma will be at the train station to pick you up. I'm like, he is an adult man, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is what, 7 years his senior?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds plays his dad, even though he could be like his brother.
I know. Now, what do you think about, there's a group of films that are about video games, but not based on any. Like Ready Player One.
The Wizard.
Yeah. Some of those I like. I like Ready Player One. I like the book better.
I think we had this discussion once because I love the book and I did not love the movie.
That's understandable.
I just don't like, I thought it looked kind of cheap.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. Mm. I loved Pixels. The Adam Sandler joint.
I'm ending this.
I can see Mike looking to end the Zoom meeting.
Well, Why? What's good about Pixels?
It's just, it's stupid, but it's fun. Like, it's...
You like Kevin James as the president?
Yeah. I kind of do. I like that the deal that he had with Peter Dinklage was that he could have a three-way with Martha Stewart and Venus Williams in the Lincoln bedroom.
Jesus Christ.
Don't they get a say? Do these women have consent at all?
They're in the movie.
Apparently, they suggested it.
I haven't seen it, but apparently Pixels is based on a short film that's supposed to be very good.
It's based off of a Futurama episode with the same exact premise.
Yeah, Space Invaders episode of Futurama.
Oh, yes. Well, the Moonanites from Aqua Teen Hunger Force were kind of like 8-bit game characters.
Yeah.
They were originally written as E.T. Mm. And then Universal was like, no. So they just turned them into something else. E.T., a great example of a great movie that turned out to be notoriously one of the worst game failures ever.
You, like, fall in a pit immediately, and then you can't get out, and then that's right. The game.
Just completely... Well, back in the, you know, the early Wild West frontier days of video games, some of them are really just bad because they didn't know what the fuck they were programming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was no YouTube. You couldn't look up a walkthrough or whatever.
Right.
Kids would play as E.T., fall in the thing and not realize there's like a special code or something to get out of it. And then they'd be like, well, this game sucks.
Right. I'm done.
And they ended up burying a lot of them in the desert.
It's right. And then I like watched that thing about them finding all those E.T. games.
Yes.
Now, if we're going to go best video game adaptation of a movie, GoldenEye.
That's also an example of a video game adaptation that is more popular than the film it's based on.
It made the film more popular.
It's got more of a cultural impact.
Mm.
It's so much easier to make that transition because I feel like almost every successful movie has that. How many Batman movies are there? How many those are comic book adaptations, but how many Disney movies? Like, they just re-released Aladdin and Lion King, the ones that were released for Sega Genesis.
Lion King for Genesis was an awesome game.
Those games are always very hard, though. The Disney
Stampede game. Level?
Well... It's not a movie, but I think the DuckTales game for Nintendo is an excellent game.
Yes.
Mm.
Great soundtrack, too.
Yes. There's a lot of stinkers, though, because sometimes they would just make them, like the Ghostbusters game. There was basically, until the one they made in 2009,
Which was the plot to Ghostbusters 3, where they're supposed to go to hell.
Mm. Right.
So, I mean, that was actually a pretty good one.
That was a good one, but all the others are terrible.
Like, there's this really good YouTube channel called SNES Drunk, S-N-E-S Drunk, and they go over a lot of the movie, the video game adaptations of movies, and which ones are really, really terrible, like Batman Forever, or Bram Stoker's Dracula, like, really.
Oh,
like,
wow, it's
like,
Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
But where you just take 3 steps, die, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I saw this. This was great.
But did they do Kenneth Branagh's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein?
I think they did, actually.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I'm going to rattle off a few that we haven't seen, but I wanted to know if you've seen them. You've seen Rampage. You said you fell asleep.
Yeah, I fell asleep through most of it. I can't really speak to it.
But you said it wasn't dumb enough.
Yeah, it needed to be more ridiculous.
Because Rampage is just such a fun, dumb, smash-em-up arcade game.
Right. And it doesn't get to that to the final act.
All right. Have you seen Assassin's Creed?
No, I did not.
Have you seen Prince of Persia?
I have not, no.
Have you seen Warcraft?
No.
I'm out of questions.
Have you played the Home Alone game?
No.
My brother has, and he loves it.
It's very good, but an odd adaptation because it's just crazy. Like, there's giant spiders. It's insane. It's insane.
It's all the deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Well, you look at a successful video game adaptation of a movie, just look how many Star Wars games they've had. I mean, weren't you playing Jedi Fallen Order?
Or
somebody was? And, like, that's, like, one of the best games of the last year. So, you know, if you stick to a franchise, you know, sooner or later, you're going to start making good games. They started off making terrible games, and then once they started going into the Dark Forces, Jedi Knight stuff, it started getting pretty good.
I liked some of the Super Nintendo ones. Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back.
They were way too hard for me.
Well, they do Knights of the Old Republic for a game too.
Yeah, Knights of the Old Republic was they want to make a movie adaptation of that. So there you go. You got a video game adaptation of a movie, and then going back and forth.
It's also.
Well, yeah, I think the lines that differentiated things are much more blurry now.
Yeah.
It's all just IP. It's all just ideas that you just plug in different ways. Because we don't even really talk about it the way we used to. It used to be, like, sacrilegious, like a film, cinema, based on a video game. What about, this is not a movie, but what about the hit disco song Pac-Man Fever?
Now that is something. That is a pop culture relic.
It was a big hit.
You know, the disco, everyone was just flying high on cocaine.
Flying high. But you know, when Pac-Man Fever came on, people were like, yeah, I love that Pac-Man.
Wow, wow, Pac-Man. Wow, 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 wow. It's just like,
yeah. Oh, shit, a ghost.
Oh, I shall eat a bowl of cherries and ghost meat to honor.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, Pac-Man Fever.
Followed by Cat Scratch Fever.
Which, well, I did not know was a real thing for many years.
It's a serious condition.
Let's see. Oh, the Tomb Raider movies.
Oh, I haven't seen them. Have you?
I think I've seen all of them. There were two Angelina Jolie ones, and then we saw the Alicia Vikander one, too.
Well, I mean, it was on while we were just, like, in the room.
We watched a lot of movies when Henry was first born because, like, we weren't going anywhere, and we were just like, well, we can have this on as a newborn.
What did you think? I was interested in the reboot one, but I haven't seen it.
It does to Tomb Raider. Like, it essentially follows the movies essentially follow the trajectory of the games, right? So, like, the first movie is, like, very highly sort of, like, sexy version, like, sexualized version of Lara Croft. You know, her, like, infamous, like, pointy boobs. They, like, enhanced Angelina Jolie's chest for the film, and she's, like, this big sex symbol, and she gets this movie.
Wow.
And then the games, I don't know if it was because of Uncharted, but the game sort of took like a grittier turn. So they like made her more flat chested and they made her like more of an adventurer. So she's in less of a flimsy outfit and she's got like a little, so she's got, what is his name? Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
She's got like a real, like a more of a Nathan Drake vibe in the new one, but it's not a good movie.
Well, let me ask you, are there any games that you would like to see turned into films?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm interested in the Last of Us adaptation that they're doing. Is HBO doing that?
I'm not sure. I've never played Last of Us.
It's interesting. It's a zombie game, but apparently the heart of the story is really like this relationship between, I don't think he's her father, but he's like a father figure, like this young girl. And the zombies are interesting because it's based on this real, like, actual fungus that exists in nature. And what it does is when it will, like, get on, like, an ant's leg or something, and eventually it, like, moves up their body. And when it gets to the point where it's, like, on their brain, it kills them, but it moves their body and is able to control their, like, their body now.
So it just takes them over.
Right. So now this fungus, I guess, is like, I don't know if it's mutated or if it's just like grown really big. So now it's like affecting humans. And that's like the premise of the zombification of things. But there's some things that I'd like to see. Like I'm like a big platform gamer. So like my favorites would have been like the Jack and Daxter series, or particularly the second game in that series, Jack. I'd love to see that adapted.
I've never even heard of those.
Oh, I love those. They were I think, like PlayStation 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Spyro series, I think, would be adorable.
Yeah, that actually would be.
I think you could do something with Star Fox.
Yeah.
There's a game that came out recently called Little Nightmares. It's like you're, I guess it's a dream world, but like you're a child and all the adults in the game are like giants. They're like larger than life. And the whole purpose of the game is to like crawl through rooms without being detected. Mm. And you have to like stay in the dark, shadowy parts of the rooms.
My God.
But like if they catch you, they're like nightmarish, like creations. There's like a big chef with like knives who's like trying to kill you. I feel like that could be done in like a really creepy Coraline type fashion.
Yeah.
So there's like some stuff you could do. You were saying Streets of Rage.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Streets of Rage, there was talks about it back in 2018. They just came out with a game, Streets of Rage 4, after a 25-year hiatus, just came out like 2 weeks ago. So that's what got me thinking about it again. But it would be absolutely perfect because we're in this now trend of cyberpunk where it's the future as depicted from the 80s.
Yes.
Where like it's that like Back to the Future look of the future, like with boxiness and everything. So have you played Streets of Rage before?
No, I haven't.
There was a game called Final Fight for Capcom back in the late 80s, early 90s. It was just like one of your regular beat-em-ups, like how like Turtles in Time was or like any of those games.
Yeah.
This was Sega Genesis' response to it. It was just like a young task force that was just going and beating up criminals in the city. And it was like all by this whole crime syndicate. A lot of fun. The soundtrack is really, really cool because it's like all early like 90s synth rave. But it's got that like, you know, neo cyberpunk.
Interesting. Kind of that actually, yeah.
So it would play out very much like The Warriors.
Okay.
Which was like the perfect, like, oh, this would make a great video game.
Yeah.
And then Rockstar made it, and it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny that Warriors is not based on a video game because it so hits all the marks of a video game movie.
Right.
Like, there's a clear, like there's an inciting action. We ultimately need to get to Coney Island, and we have to beat all these bosses along the way, right? And it's like a perfect video game movie without being based on a video game at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Cuphead would be a good film if they did it like a 20s animation.
It's like the Over the Garden Wall people got their hands on it?
Yes. But, you know, you're making me think the last Star Wars movie, Rise of Skywalker, it was criticized for being people feeling it was too much like a video game because it's a lot of fetch quests.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, go get this, and then go get that, and then go get this.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder the effect of video games on film.
Mm.
You know, it is interesting because you video games, I think, there is this sort of premise of like the boss fight. And that's something you see in other things now. Like, okay, like you kind of know this is the boss. Or that's the... Look at Kill Bill, right? Isn't that like a video game?
Absolutely. Yeah. It would be a great video game adaptation if it were one.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. I've always been intrigued by the BioShock games.
I love those.
Yeah.
That would be great. That would be great. But here's a question. Do you think it's wiser to go animated rather than live action?
I think if you can't get a really good production designer, like someone who's going to make the, or like you're not going to have the budget for it, right? Ultimately.
Right.
Like,
because
so much of it is based on like elaborate sets and elaborate costumes and effects.
And I don't think it's going to get the same reception if it's animated. Look at all those Justice League movies that were straight to video. Right. A lot of them are great. But, I mean,
right.
And a lot of them are better than the major motion picture releases.
Mm. Right.
But they're animated, so, like, it's like, okay, this is just
right.
Throw away.
Mm. Now, you sent me a link about an Animal Crossing movie.
Yes, there's an Animal Crossing movie that's never been released in America, but it came out years ago. But it's getting, I think it might get a release because Animal Crossing is so popular again.
Yeah.
But apparently, the video game is the film is very boring. It's just like the game. There's just not much happens.
I guess not.
Pay off your mortgage.
Build this little island.
Buy some of my rhubarb.
Well, that's what makes the game so appealing, because it's like capitalism if it worked. Like, you could actually pay off loans.
I like that right now, like, in our current condition, celebrities are visiting other people's islands. Like, there was this one thing where Elijah Woods DM'd somebody saying that they liked their, like, certain crop or whatever. It's like, all right, come and get it. And then, like, all of their avatars were taking pictures with Elijah Woods' avatar.
Wow.
Amazing.
I think AOC did the same thing, but everybody was like,
Wow.
Go back to work, AOC. Our clap back to that was, yeah, my $50 game is really more important than the millions of dollars we spent on Trump's golf games.
Nice.
What aboutism at its finest.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I guess what else? God of War? You should adapt God of War.
Yeah. That could also be really bad.
All of these could be really bad. I mean, let's be honest.
Because then you just have Clash of the Titans. And not right. The Harry Hamlin one.
Not that sexy one.
Well, it's true. A lot of video games are inspired by film.
Yeah.
Like what happened with Street Fighter. Mm. So it's like, it's kind of like folding back in on itself.
Yeah.
There's a new Mario film coming out. It's animated. It's by the people that make Despicable Me and the Minions.
Huh.
I going back to what I was saying about animation, I think that's the best way to do a Mario film, because I don't know if you could ever in live action get Mario.
Yeah. We were, after we watched that thing, that gaming historian thing that you sent about the Mario movie, we were like, who would be your dream directing pick if Mario was going to be made today? Like, putting aside like that movie ever existed, and say Nintendo was in the position it was in the early 90s, they have this hot property, they want to develop it. You know, we haven't been burned by video game movies before. Who's doing this movie?
Guillermo del Toro.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, which Guillermo del Toro are we getting? Are we getting Pacific Rim?
Yeah.
We're not getting Pan's Labyrinth.
No, no. Who would you say?
We said Lord and Miller.
Yeah. Well, they did Lego. I mean, who thought that you could turn Lego into a successful film series?
Mm-hmm.
Lord and Miller would be good.
I think you have to have humor. You have to have like a good comedic voice.
You don't think Guillermo del Toro's funny?
I actually think he is very funny, especially on It's Always Sunny.
I've never seen him on that.
He's on It's Always Sunny. He's unrecognizable and very, very funny.
I love him. Bill, what do you think? Who would be... How would we make a good Mario film?
Are you going to crack this nut?
Yeah, we're going to figure it out right now. See, what you do is you base it off of one game, or loosely off of one game that hasn't even come out yet. It's going to come out in a year. You base it off of that premise, and you put it in a world that doesn't exist, like an alternate reality of Manhattan, maybe, and make it that it's covered in slime.
You're going too much like the old film.
You get Fiona Shaw involved. She is a saint. And you dig up the corpse of Dennis Hopper and Bob Hoskins.
Oh, my gosh.
You get the sex criminal from Blue Velvet.
I don't have an answer. Like, I feel like since these things are so dense now, like back then, there was not much to go off of. So, yeah, sure, you can make a movie about it. But the property is so vast. Like, it's got to be a series.
You know what? Do Mario Kart. Just do it that way.
Whoa, wait, what?
Just do a racing movie.
That's insane. That's like doing fucking Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, right? That's your point of purchase. Like, you get in that way.
You do Days of Thunder, but with Mario.
Mario Kart.
Wow. Who would play Mario? I actually think Bob Hoskins was a great choice.
Yeah.
Better than Captain Lou Albano, although I love him.
Well, if you're going to go with people like that, John C. Reilly.
Ooh.
Right.
I don't know. That's not bad, actually. I like that.
Danny DeVito.
They didn't get Danny DeVito. I think that would have been inspired.
If there was ever a role that he was born to play.
Incredible. Yeah.
I like that they wanted Tom Hanks. That would have been awful.
His career would have never recovered. I'm glad he didn't do it. He did Philadelphia instead.
Wrong choice. Huh.
He could have had an early retirement.
Yeah, his blood is being used to make the vaccine, okay? So we're all thankful to you, Tom Hanks.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, John C. Reilly. That's pretty good.
Well, he's Wreck-It Ralph, isn't he?
He is. Oh, that's why.
Well, okay. No, because I said Days of Thunder, and he's in that.
Is he in Days of Thunder?
He's in Days of Thunder.
I haven't seen Days of Thunder.
I think he is.
No. I don't know. Who do you have anyone for Mario?
Adam Driver.
He can do anything. Have you ever seen the picture of him? I want to say it was like for Elle magazine or like Vogue or something, where he's shirtless and he has like this big black sheep over his shoulders.
What?
I'm going to try to convey this to you via Zoom. I'll see if I can find it. But he just looks like a wild goat herd or something. It comes up immediately. Adam Driver's sheep picture.
Of course.
It's intense.
How many people are jerking off to this right now? Oh, wow. That's living deliciously.
It really is. The second I saw that picture, I was like, oh, he's the devil from The Witch. Like, there yeah. it is. That yeah. is 100% true.
You know, I'm looking at my video games now, and I'm seeing PlayStation 4 Spider-Man, which is one of the best games of the last couple years. Mm-hmm. And I think that that game is the best adaptation of Spider-Man. Yeah, taking the comics and adapting them, the best way to do it is a game. Not a film.
That whole sandbox style started off as the adaptation for Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi.
Yes.
That was the first time where it was like, okay, you have all of Manhattan to just go nuts.
Yes, that's true.
And then they were just like, okay, this is how we're going to do Spider-Man games because it's just a playground to just, you know.
Right.
And it was very well received. So I haven't played the Spider-Man for PS4, but I've heard nothing but great things. Mm.
It is honestly just excellent. It's just so good. And the mechanics are so amazing. It's just so relaxing just webbing through the city, just like moving around. It's perfect.
So many of those superhero movies, like I'm thinking of Into the Spider-Verse now, like in particular superhero movies, like origin story movies, have like a video game like mechanic to them. Like there's always the like intro period where the superhero's figuring out their powers, and so it's like those like trial thing, like do this move, do that move, and you have to like kind of figure out what your powers are and then you kind of do your missions.
Yeah,
I think that's probably why they translate so well into video games.
Right. I really think the narrative arc of adventure games has had an effect on all other narrativity. Like the way you can see a huge change in novels once film is created. I think you can see a huge change in film and other things once video games are created.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely inform each other, for sure. I'm interested in the Arkham games.
Oh, those are really good. Those are very good.
Adapt those. Or if they kind of have already, because like the Arkham Harley design is pretty much the big screen Harley that we've seen.
Right.
Oh, it's loosely based off of the, what is it, Arkham Asirius play? What's the name of that comic? A Serious Place or A Serious Ground, something like that?
It's based on some of the games. Some of the comics. But they were for a time going to make films based on that game, but it never happened. But again, that's one of those things like Batman. It's like, what is really, are you adapting anything at this point? It's just a cultural idea.
Yeah, it's a modern mythos. Yeah. Right? It's just like, it's what we have. It's our Greek pantheon, essentially.
Yeah. Trying to think if there's any we've missed.
I was going to say Portal as a movie adaptation, but it's just one gimmick over and over and over again.
That's fine.
But I mean, isn't that all the video games?
Yeah.
Double Dragon. That's the last thing I have that we didn't talk about, but we don't need to talk about it.
You have Scott Wolf from Party of Five and the chairman from MasterChef as the Lee brothers, Billy and Jimmy Lee. And who's the villain in that?
I don't remember, but I remember Alyssa Milano was in it in some absolutely inscrutable pants. That was another one from the 90s. I had the most insane, like, video game adjacent experience of my life in, like, I want to say it was the fourth grade, maybe. I was in Taekwondo at the time, and we had a birthday party, and they showed the movie Double Dragon. They let us run around the studio to the Mortal Kombat soundtrack, and they served us those Super Mario sodas that were like those little red cans of like the most intense like cherry soda you've ever had in your life.
How many of your memories involve soda?
Like 80%.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Or Coke-flavored slushies. Slurpees. Mm.
Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is a good comic book and film sort of based on a sort of video game narrative arc.
Yeah. Now, is there a game of...
There is. It's like freeware, you know, just independent game. It's fun, though. It's a beat 'em up.
But it started off, it's a manga, right?
Yeah, it's a manga.
Is that right?
Yeah. But an American, no, it's an it is, but it's an American one.
Right, right. But it's like in the style of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, they were planning on re-releasing it in theaters because it's the 10-year anniversary of it.
Jeez, it's really 10
Wow.
Years. Oh, my God. Where'd that time go?
But yeah, that's a fun movie.
That's a really fun movie.
I loved that movie when it first came out.
Chris Evans is fantastic in it.
Yes, that's true. He is.
He fights Captain America. He fights Superman. The Punisher is in it.
All right.
Mae Whitman.
Mae Whitman. So
he also fights her.
The president's daughter from Independence Day.
Katara. He gets Katara. They all have powers in their own way.
Yeah, she's a waterbender and a bloodbender, which is, we all know, the most deviant of the arts.
Ooh. Now, this is from last week's episode, but what would you bend if you could bend anything?
If I had to pick one of the four nations,
mm-hmm.
I would fucking, I'd be an earthbender.
Okay.
I feel like they're good people. Salt of the earth.
I like them.
What, is there ever been a video game of that?
I'm sure, right?
No.
But I can't be a good one because I've never fucking heard of it. There are things out there that I feel like are, like, begging to be video games.
Yeah. Oh, Avatar game. Oh, no. Anything Avatar gameplay is like the James Cameron movie.
Boo.
I don't want to play that game. No. Boo. Yeah, that would be a good one.
Now, one thing we do have to say is that Janine has paid money to go see the movie Doom in the movie theaters.
You know what?
Wow. Now, with the success of the new Doom, I wonder if they'll try to do that again.
They might. But you know what? It's funny because such a big star was attached to the original that to do it again, I feel like they'd be like, let's get The Rock to do this. Oh, wait. He did this one already.
And Rampage.
Yeah.
He, well, speaking of The Rock, the new Jumanji movies are based on video games. And a lot of the gags in it are like video game gags, like non-player characters and stuff. I think.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of that movie that's coming out, Free Guy.
Oh, right, with Ryan Reynolds.
Right, and he's supposed to be like an NPC character.
Right.
Like a GTA type of game.
Right.
It's just, it really is pervasive culturally.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of like a one-to-one adaptation never really works that well.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. There are better films about video games than actually like based on specific games.
I would
like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. Mega Man?
Well, here's the thing with Mega Man. A lot of fun. It's got a really cool formula, but I feel like they teased that in The Mandalorian. Like when he first got Beskar Steel and they said, okay, you're going to upgrade to the Flying Phoenix or whatever. And they had that whole thing of like getting it programmed onto him and everything. Mm-hmm. That's after every single level in Mega Man. I was like, oh, this is how they would do it. So, yeah. Pateka was cheating on that too. He's hired.
Yeah. Again, the what we see in video games affecting other media, the idea of leveling up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I've got a new weapon now. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, that's something that it means something to us narratively because of video games, I think.
Right. I would say that for any of the Marvel Avengers movies.
Yeah.
Like, you see their progression. You see them leveling up in each movie, whether it's, you know, the Iron Man suits or Scarlet Witch's powers. For some reason, she's, like, only mildly powerful in the first movie, and then she's all of a sudden the most powerful thing out there on the battlefield in Endgame.
She has the power to just turn off her accent. It's just gone now. Well, we should call it quits. Janine and Bill, thank you for being here. Thank you for staying up late.
Our kid is going to wake up in 6 hours, so.
I will be waking up tomorrow, maybe around noon. PCMC is a podcast that can be found anywhere podcasts are found. You can follow PCMC at PCMC Pod on Twitter or at Pop Culture Man Show on Instagram. Are you guys on the web? Are you in the World Wide Web?
Nah.
Is that the AOLs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find us on AOL Hometown.
Fair enough.
Check out my GeoCities page.
All right.
Can I Lycos that?
Is the emoji movie count in this? In this topic?
I'm going to say no, but I wouldn't say no to a Candy Crush movie.
And on that, we end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.